the Christian faith and material wealth. We're dealing with materialism and the Christian faith. Hallelujah. So, a quick one. Before we get into our study for today, somebody should do. Before we get into our preaching on today on the Christian faith and material wealth, dealing with materialism, I would like to say this, that this series let me put it like this. My pastor, Pastor Shegun, has a book dedicated to this teaching. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Dedicated to this teaching. So I'm going to teach it in this way because I'm teaching my church. But he has a book dedicated to it that is quite very, very detailed about it. Hallelujah. But we're going to look at we're going to look at it in church today, not looking at what is in the book. Amen. I'm going to teach us what's what. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk around that teaching. It's going to be around the teaching, but not anything direct, but a product. What I'm teaching is a product of that book that I read some 3 years back. That was about the first book I bought, Young Ministers. And I guess I bought that around 2019 Charismatic. I mean, I don't think I bought it because of Charis Camp. Yeah, so, and that was the second book I read after to the Young Ministers. Abel. Matthew 28 from verses 18. Okay, Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. Say, go therefore, make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." I will let you submit Jesus' instruction within the 40 days. I will say a good Bible student should observe where Jesus is reading their instructions from. Right? A good Bible student should understand, should observe where he's reading the instructions from. He wasn't saying the instructions from his head. No. Or he wasn't saying it from the sky. The instructions will be instructions of scriptures because he read from scriptures. So a good Bible student will observe that the instructions are instructions from scriptures. And will observe how Jesus taught scriptures. Amen. He will teach from the Genesis. We saw that. Luke 24 verses 25. Luke was deliberate about that. 27 rather. He says, "Begin at Moses and all the prophets." Hallelujah. Moses and all the prophets. So he gives you that background to how Jesus teach. In Luke 24 verse 24, Luke will say, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled written in the law of Moses." Did you see that? Look at how it goes. Hallelujah. Look at how it goes. From the law of Moses. To make you see that all or how Jesus would teach will be from the Genesis. From Moses. From the Genesis. So it's very important that is not lost on the believer today. That Jesus will teach from Moses. And at the same time too, being a good student, the apostles and the writers of the synoptic, they will also show you that what they are writing as the synoptic will be from the Genesis. We saw that too. Hallelujah. Will be from the Genesis. So they are writing Jesus' life in the incarnation as scripture fulfilled from the Genesis. Matthew, in Matthew 1:1, look at Matthew in Matthew 1:1, will say this is the book, he calls it the book of the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Hallelujah. Amen. So when you use the word the book of the generation, which is the word Genesis, where you have Genesis, it tells you that the Genesis is not a Genesis of creation of matter. No, it tells that the Genesis is the Genesis of the gospel of Christ, the Genesis of Jesus Christ, the son of David. So what you will find in the Genesis will be what concerning the gospel. Hope you are saying that. So also something you will see also in the Genesis that we will get to see shortly will be that the Genesis will be a book of sonship. the son of. You see that? Now, there's no place you get to look at what Matthew has done. There's no place you will see son of David in Genesis, because David was not in Genesis. But what would you find will be, what we call the son of David will be an interpretation.
Hallelujah.
But shows that it will be a book of relationship, a book of sonship. Hallelujah. We're following this. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Mark also opens up that way. Mark uses it as the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The beginning of the gospel. And when you use the word beginning, there's the word arche. Used for the Genesis also. The beginning, arche. Used for Genesis. Because the Genesis, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son. So that means you will find him as the Son of God. Hallelujah. Remember, we say it's a book of fellowship, it's a book of sonship. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Luke also makes us see similar things, writing the same gospel to an audience of one who is a Gentile. Verse 3, it says, seems good. Now look at what it says on verse 1. It says, for as much as many have taken in hand to set in order the declaration of those things which are believed amongst us, even as they delivered unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitness. So the Greek will have it as eyewitness from the beginning. Hallelujah. Eyewitness of the beginning and ministers of the word. So when he uses this, calls the apostles eyewitness, call the apostles of eyewitness of the beginning, is that big Genesis. Okay, again. Hallelujah. So there will be apostles of the beginning. So you see, it still takes your mind again back to the Genesis. Amen. Tells you their role in explanation will be from the Genesis. Hallelujah. Eyewitnesses of the beginning. Hallelujah. Of the beginning, and call them ministers of the word. So the word there will be from the Genesis. Exactly, yes. Hallelujah. So that means whatever thing is writing to Theophilus will also have the background from the Genesis. Hallelujah. So he writes to an audience, to a Gentile audience, and he didn't tell him, oh, the Genesis to Malachi is a Hebrew book, so keep it one side. Let's talk nonsense. No. It still goes back to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And it becomes very vital in our world today, where some people will say Christianity is an Israeli religion. That is nonsense. Say it's white man religion. That's stupidity. Don't be found in that. Don't be found in that. It's stupidity to say that. There's no way. Because Israel didn't start in Genesis. Genesis chapter 1. Israel didn't start in Genesis 1. Israel, as a person, started from Genesis, that should be Genesis 27 or 26. Amen. As a nation, you are getting towards the end of Genesis. Glory to God. Amen. And when God wants to speak to Israel, or the nation Israel, he said he's the God of their fathers who are not Israelites. Did you see that? So, how can you say Israel is religion? So it's just nonsense. So it's very right that this becomes very important to me also. So he writes to the audience of one Theophilus and writes the same thing too from the beginning. Hallelujah. I have John. John very, very explanatory. John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. It goes back to Genesis chapter 1, and then he brings in and he tells you, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. God is the word. That's what it means. He says the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was anything made that was made. Hallelujah. You know, I shared with also Sunday about someone was saying, arguing whether God was the Word or the Word was God. Which one is correct?
That's unnecessary.
It's very, very unnecessary to do that. Hallelujah. Very unnecessary to do that. What did you say? The Greek puts Theos first before Logos. So why is the translators now put Logos before Theos? That's unnecessary. What we should fight against is the one that says the Word, and the Word was the God. That is what we should fight against. Not which one comes first. Do you understand? Amen. Amen. Yes, what you should fight about. What is the Word and the Word was a God? That's nonsense. It changes the narrative of John. It is exactly the same thing that John was countering in his word. That's what you're saying. I think John was attesting when he said the Word was a God. Hallelujah. Amen. That's the subtle how would I call it? Blunder. Blow a big one. So, hallelujah. I said, the same was in the beginning with God. So, you see that every writer of the synoptic goes back again to the Genesis. Hallelujah. Goes back to the Genesis. Therefore, we said, it's good, or it's very vital that as a believer, you understand how scriptures are interpreted, because the believer is an interpreter. Was that what we said? Hallelujah. The believer is an interpreter, and we have to read from the Genesis. So we began looking at Matthew 28 from verses 20. He said teaching them, and we said, why would he say teaching them? Because we said Christian faith is a knowledge based faith. We said that a Christian faith is a knowledge based faith. You serve God to the degree of your knowledge about him. Knowledge is vital in Christian worship. Very vital.
You serve God to the degree of your knowledge.
Lack of accurate knowledge. And that is why it becomes very vital. Philemon chapter 4. Philemon 4 to 6. Philemon 4 to 6. It says, ahead of thy faith, and thy love towards the brethren. It says, it says that the communication of your faith, will become effectual. Watch that. It says it will become effectual, effective or pretty. It is by the acknowledging, epignosis then. Acknowledging there is not an attestation with the head. No, it's not mental assent. No. Acknowledging there is the word epignosis. A word that is used for full and accurate knowledge, precise knowledge of things. Do you understand me? Full and precise knowledge of things. Accurate knowledge. So it says of every good thing. Now it says your communication of your faith then will be his law, right? It says will become much more effective. And he wanted him to show love to someone who has wronged him. Now he says no, it will be much more effective by the acknowledging of every good thing in you in Christ Jesus. So he prays that he grows in knowledge, that he will walk, his faith will be more operational. So your faith in the gospel, or your faith, put it this way, your walk with God is effective to the degree of your knowledge. Very vital. To the degree of your knowledge. So Christianity, therefore, is a knowledge-based faith. It's knowledge-based faith. And that is why we said in Matthew 22, Jesus will say to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he will say to them, they err, not knowing the scriptures, not the power of God. They err. That is to walk in error. Amen? Walk in error. To be led astray. Because they know not the scriptures. And it is, and that means the knowledge of the scriptures shows you the power of God. Hallelujah. In James chapter 1, where we read last time, we saw that James 2 will pick up the same word and say, do not err, my beloved brethren. That means a believer can err when he or she doesn't know the scripture. He said, let no man say when he is tempted, James 1:13, that he is tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted any man. You see that? Neither tempted any man. Say, do not err, my fellow brethren, my beloved brethren. It makes you say that. Don't err. Don't be led astray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we said that when you see do not err in James, every man is tempted when he's
and we saw those who lost, right? Desire comes to play.
So that means when you say God cannot tempt any man, it therefore means I have to reread my Genesis chapter 21 again. Well, if James has said God doesn't tempt any man, therefore Genesis 21 is not God tempting Abraham, is actually God proving him. That was a teaching class. Because when he went up the mountain, Abraham wasn't in the dark about what he was going to do. When the son asked him, Father, we have the used to this word. We have the gas cooker, we have everything ready. But where is the lamp? Where is the lamp for the sacrifice? He said, the Lord God will provide himself as the lamp. Is that missing you? Wasn't going there to do victory. Hallelujah. See, God will provide himself as the lamp. Hallelujah. And then he took his son as an example for how God too is going to come in the likeness of a man and will be called son. Hallelujah. We'll see all that shortly. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, we began answering the question, what is the Christian faith about? And we said, something you must rule out of your head is the word heaven. The Christian faith is about going to heaven. No. Hallelujah. Rather, you put it like this, the Christian faith is you in God's heaven. Amen. The heaven man is trying to go to is man's heaven. But God's heaven is where we'll come to. You're in heaven.
Hallelujah. When God's heaven, it's God's place.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, we saw that. That will come into Mount Zion, the city of the living God, say to the heavenly Jerusalem. That shouldn't get lost on you. So what is the Christian faith about? It's not going to heaven. The sing song, la da la da la da. Our Lord Jesus is a ladder. How? Everybody follow the ladder. Follow the ladder to heaven. Yeah, they are running. We sing another one. Heavenly rest, I know go tire. Heavenly rest, I know go tire. Heavenly rest, I know go tire. I know go tire. Oh, your man gets it. Yeah, I also remember that one. That was one of my best. If you think that your money can buy heaven for you, my Bible says no. If you think that your money can buy heaven for you, my Bible says no. Heaven is no place for money. Heaven is no place for money. Cause your money can buy a place in heaven. My Bible says no. You not see one fine lady that is looking like mommy without going somewhere to perform. That is the thing that your beauty can buy heaven for you. Hey, so said the lady, and the lady said no. My Bible says no. And your heaven is not a place for beauty. If you see. And that's the kind of song that Dixon would like to sing. If you think that your voice can buy heaven for you. Come on, stop over that. I like that song, Lord. Come on. That song brings back a lot of memories to me. I'm good here. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. I've been bringing a lot of memories. God will tell you that. So once I begin to sing that song, there's somebody that it reminds me of. And there's one event that comes to my mind. How someone sent someone to go and buy. Let me take this off the cross because it's come against this. Heaven. Heavenly conscience. Hallelujah. I think heaven is a believer's goal. No. Sometimes when you begin to get into Bible hermeneutics, you see some people who will just tell you, will this take you to heaven? All these things. You find it among some folks. It just is laziness. That's the definition of laziness. And Satan has got them in a corner. All these things, diamenu, hermeneutics, didache, didascalia, didactical, all those things. Now, after we've known everything, that's the sum of, after all these powerful messages, yeah, you convince me. But sir, I'm just thinking, would it take us to heaven?
That person is not different from Jesus' disciples. After you're done teaching them, you say, sir,
thank you for the word.
The word was gross. We heard it.
Sir, don't say what teach like this, but sir,
will you at this point?
Jesus was not teaching them kingdom authority. It's a territorial, the kingdom is a territorial kingdom. We take it.
I said, sir, thank you.
Master, you at this point restore again the kingdom to Israel.
Can I hear Jesus? You just say, 40 days. When you go another 40 days, it's you.
And then you receive power. Don't worry, all this nonsense stuff will stop. You receive power. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You know what I thought about the Holy Ghost upon? You receive power. Amen. Glory to God. So Jesus trusted in what he has taught him. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, it says, what is the Christian faith about, right? Now, we have to answer that. What's the Christian faith about? Like I told you last week, this thing goes into the root of what do you even say? You get people born again. Some people think being born again is like giving you a target. Yeah, the pastor tells you you must win 10 souls. You don't give yourself target. Don't go and talk anyhow.
Sir,
I said, you want to make heaven? You are smoking, but we want to go to heaven?
Yes, sir.
Because you need to meet up with 10. Pastor said, I must win 10. Maybe 5 you've met first. They are telling you I'm born again. But they are giving you the dachi, are giving them the dachi. That is what's supposed to be. Say, come. I was scared. Maybe at that point, the good just said that. I said, yeah. What the hell? Pastor, say, yes, I'm in. I don't have it. I make it. You made them born again. You know, it goes to the root of how you get into faith. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to dwell on that next week. I'll dwell on that next week, especially what do you understand on about
false brethren? I'm going to dwell there
because false brethren is going to come out again in doctrine. Some people got saved because they want to make money. You know the most devastating one is talking to someone and he said, I cannot go to any church where I cannot have network. Network for what? Say network and connect. Say your church, you people have connect. I say how? Like you have owners of industries. Do you have bourgeoisie? You know the church now is not a place of prayer. You're just praising God. You just swipe your card. I said, okay, that's good. Come and join first. So that you be the first bourgeoisie in church. Then from you, other people will come and connect. Not nonsense. Say, no, I don't want to connect. Church has become a place of connection. No. The church can be a place of connection.
Yeah? Don't look at the church of David. Say, just see that they have the church. Who did he pick? David has started David's church. Where nobody.
No, you have to. You know, when you want to open, we want to have a church in Lekki. You know, your MD, you're going to invite MD church, you invite MD, MD Connect.
They cannot meet in another business school and connect within your church.
When you come to church, you're able to teach gospel. You say money will locate your account because you are the MB there. It is a superimposing. God is imposing a supernatural ability, a vision that will break the air.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
just a stick.
What is Christian faith about? Genesis. I said, was that where we stop? It says Genesis. Why Genesis?
Well, as I
would
say, that was Christian faith.
So the Christian faith is,
we have the background. Let's backtrack a bit.
The background of salvation. The Christian faith is salvation. The background of salvation is what? What's the background of salvation?
Come on. What's the background? Where, okay, sorry, where will you find the background of salvation? Is that the Exodus? Come on, I've taught you that now, right?
That's Exodus, right? So the background to salvation, or the background where you have an example of the background of salvation, will be the Exodus. The Exodus will show us the background. They are delivered from Egypt. Egypt will be the world, right? Paul will say you are delivered from
the kingdom of darkness
to the kingdom of the Son of His love.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Put your hands in Exodus chapter 3 quickly. I'm going down to Colossians 1:12. Now it says, giving thanks to the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light.
Well, actually, I'm trying to read it as the partakers of the saints.
Now, however, it now says, in the light he has delivered us from the darkness. So he explained that of deliverance to be, to, we are now in the kingdom of the Son of His love, right? And what does he call it? Partakers of the inheritance with the saints. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Now, when you use the word, when you have the word inheritance,
it's not something I'm going to go into in this teaching.
But it's something I'll just look at today for you to see. When you use the word inheritance, yeah, inheritance has a lot to do with God's tax in the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, today we're here, you have inheritance in Christ. Your mind goes to billions. So, I remember one year like that. I said, me and my friends were praying.
We have money in mind. Of course, that's it. We're not having a chat.
Then we're talking, and I said, see, do you know that the wealth of the nations is with the church? Say, how? I said, the table are shifted.
Don't know that one.
There's a change in table. And the wealth is not in the world, it's in the church.
And so you started doing all the ministry because of money. Desire, stomach is big.
So the pastor, did you tell me that it's going to be this video? You're going to work.
Why is that God born again to be wearing stash? Because the rest of the nation is in the church.
Yeah.
Wearing stash. This is a stash.
And it did marketing work.
When they lumbered him with target,
he calmed down. Then you know when he went to get it. Let's continue. People go. When Paul was to show you his inheritance, he says, "Let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the mark of Christ." That mark was the beating he got. So we will get to that part. Not in this teaching.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. It's good to write letters.
We're going to buy lectures. These are two. Good. 350. But the work of ministry is not lectures. It's not for you time.
Work of ministry is in the Hidden Land. Yeah. So let's get on. So Now when you use the word inheritance there,
I said I was going to show you this.
When you use the word inheritance there is used for, inheritance is used for the work in ministry. Hallelujah. Is not money. No, it's never money. I'm going to find time to run us through the use of the word inheritance in scriptures. Never use so much. Hallelujah. Amen. In fact, when you get the word inheritance, you'll find it in the Old Testament book. The Bible will be in Moses too, where God will speak about the land flowing in the company that they will inherit. And he used the word that they will inherit, look up here, to refer to Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 promise. It's responsibility. Hallelujah. Therefore, when you get back to the background, which is in Exodus chapter 3, after we put our hands in Exodus 3, look at verse 12. Now, Exodus 3, 12. Now, this is God speaking to Moses and he's telling him what will happen after, what should be their practice after salvation, after the deliverance. He said, and certainly I'll be with thee, and it shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, that thou, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, he said, ye shall serve me upon this mountain. So, when they come out, what they will do with this service? Come on. My mind is there. Hallelujah. Will be service. Service. So, when you use the word service, Moses, being an intelligent preacher, knows service is a Genesis word. And service is about God's tax in the earth. God's tax in the earth. God's work. God's will. Hallelujah. Are you following me? Hallelujah. Will be God's will. God's tax in the earth. God's tax in the earth is not man's will. No, it's God's will. God's tax in the earth is not about man's greed. No, it will be God's will.
Amen.
God's will. Many times people allow their own emotions play, but no. God's word is God's word. When you use the word service, it was sent me there. It has a background in Genesis chapter number 3. Genesis chapter 2. But before you get to Genesis 2, there's already a background in Genesis 1. But before we get there, let's get to Genesis 2 first. Genesis 2, put your hands in Genesis 2 again, and let's rush down to Exodus. Want us to read Exodus and Genesis together. Remember, I told us that you have to read them together. In fact, when you have in Exodus, you have them in Genesis. It's just very simple. Okay, Exodus, are you in Exodus? Chapter 20, and put your hands in Genesis 2. Look at verse 1. Verse 2, he says, I am the Lord thy God, who brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now he says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You see that? Now you know what thou shalt have here? It has to do with service. It means thou shalt serve no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make for thyself a graven image, or the likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or that is under the waters, under the earth. You see that? Verse 5, thou shalt not bow down to them, nor serve them. You see that? For I am the Lord thy God. Service. What we are saying is, service. So they came out, and God is telling them in salvation, you serve me. So put your hands in Genesis. Why will we rush again to Ephesians chapter 2. Hope you're following me. Ephesians 2. Are you there? Verses 9. Although verse 8, let's see verse 8. For by grace ye are saved through faith, is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Lest any man should boast. Now say, for we are his workmanship. So is this about grace? You are saved, salvation. Now what do you have? For we are his workmanship in salvation. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So in that grace wherein we are saved, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Did you see that? Also good works which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Did you see that? Amen. So there are works in salvation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
In salvation. In salvation, you are supposed to be loyal to the one who has saved you. Never miss that. You're supposed to be loyal to the one. I showed us that on Sunday when I was teaching us who you are. You're supposed to be loyal to God and to the one who he has put you under. Hallelujah. Service. Service. To serve God. To serve God. So get back to Genesis now. Genesis. Now remember we said service has its roots in Genesis. Right? In Genesis. Genesis 2. First of all. Genesis 2. I'll read from verse 15. It said, and the Lord took the man whom he had formed. Did you see that? Or took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Now the word dress there is the word abad, to dress and to keep, shamar, to dress and keep. Now this is not man being a farmer. No, so the first man was a farmer. No. Adam can have the occupation of farming, but God wasn't speaking farming yet. Why would Moses use the word abad? It's because in their world they were agrarians. So that would influence Moses' choice of words. They were agrarians. So they would talk to, they would talk digital, right? We'll talk digital. Right? Collegiate data. We talk digital. Now in their world, they were agrarians. So Moses will use words they are conversant. That was their style of working. So they use words they are what is obtainable in their world. So they were agrarians. So Moses will use words like abad and shema. Hallelujah. To dress and keep. But he was in no way saying man was a farmer. Actually, the word abad is a word that is used for service. It's used for service. It's a word used for service. Servanthood. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Remember what I told you? Some people, what they heard in getting born again is they were told you are in bondage. So you are born again to, you. When you are born again, the Spirit gives you liberty. So that means you can do anything you want to do. No. The word's definition of liberty today must not be applied to what Paul was writing about when he said, when the Spirit of God is, there's liberty. Liberty in that context was not meaning to do anything you want to do. Actually, doing anything you want to do is actually the bondage. Amen? That's the bondage. The liberty will be you are saved for God's tax. That is the liberty. So the liberty is controlled. The bondage is uncontrolled. Hope you're following me. The liberty is controlled. Because what you find in Genesis 1 is God in control, putting things in control. Chaos will be everything is just anywhere without control. So wherever you see, wherever you are in a place, or you see a place that is not organized, where there's no control, you know that it's not of God. There must be control. Control. So God puts control. God puts control. You must recognize it. You must see that God puts control. So how will it go? God puts control. That is the liberty there. Hallelujah. So let's get back to Abba. It's service. So that service is servanthood. servanthood. We're going to see that in Jesus, but not today. Hallelujah. Servanthood. Now, you find it earlier in verses 5. He says, and every plant in the field before it was in the earth, and every herb in the field before it grew, for God had not caused it to rain upon the earth. And there was not a man to till the ground. So not a man to till the ground wasn't referring to farming, no. To till the ground. So it gives you it gives you the purpose of man. Remember I told you to be born again is to be born into purpose. Do you see that? It gives you the purpose of man. What is man's purpose? To till the ground. That's the word abba. To till the ground. Hallelujah. Oh, we are saying that is man's purpose. To till the ground. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To till the ground. About. So that means something we're going to look at, but not in this teaching also, is the word ground. To till the ground. Hallelujah. To till the ground. So we have a Genesis 2 will find purpose of man. Service. Come and follow me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 15. Verse 13. He says, and he said unto him, Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed will be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. Hallelujah. Will be a stranger in the land that is not theirs. And shall serve them. And they shall afflict them 400 years. Is that? And shall serve. That is the word above. And they shall serve them. Hallelujah. Are you following me? So we see that key responsibility of service. Service. So the Christian faith is about service. Serving the Lord. It's about service. Service. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at Genesis chapter 1. Go back to Genesis 1. So look at verse 28. It says, and God blessed them. That is man. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Now use the word to replenish. Now the word to replenish is not just to be, it's not just preaching the gospel and getting men saved. Replenish there is not just to get men saved, it's that word that spreads into discipleship. To replenish, to produce a kind in another. That's what it means. And Paul will pick a shade of that word, replenish, in Galatians. When he writes to the church in Galatians, he says, my little children, whom I travel in birth for, yet travel again, he says, till Christ be formed. Did you see that? In you. That is sense. So it doesn't stop in you getting there saved. It goes further to what? Discipleship. To build one in another, to replenish, to build one in another. That is building. So that means God's task in the earth is building. Hallelujah. Building men. Seven men. We're getting into it. Hallelujah. Seven. How's a Christian faith? It's not greed. No! It's God's task. It's not man's will. It's not man's grace. It's God's task. You're going to see that. It's God's task. When you become selfless in the gospel, the service, look at that. We find that in Genesis 3. God's task. Remember, what we find as God's task? About the Shema. Right? Service and Shema to keep. We're going to get there. Service and keep. About the Shema. Now, it gets to John 3. I mean, Genesis. That is Genesis 3. Genesis 4. Quickly. Genesis 4. Hallelujah. We'll find two guys. Abel, a keeper of sheep. That's the word Ra. Used for a pastor. You see that? A pastor. Hallelujah. And Cain, a tiller of ground. What is it?
Service. Right? Now, in Cain and Abel, I've told you, in Cain and Abel, you'll find God's desire for mankind.
Service and discipleship. Hallelujah. Till of ground and pastor. Hallelujah. There's somebody now asking me.
I know you want to tell me because I don't go to church. Hebrews chapter 8. I was quoting Hebrews. I was just laughing. Because if you want to go into it, we start from Genesis 1. You see local thought from Genesis 1 to my life.
My friend will have a teaching on local church. We'll deal with local church from Genesis. So you see,
we have a broader view on the local church. Is it Genesis part?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So, what do we now find in Cain? Look at verses 8. Okay, verse 9. It said, the Lord said, Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper, Shammah? You see that? Am I my brother's keeper? So that means, the task you will find is, what? Is this my brother's keeper?
That is to say, he has a duty not just to the Lord, but to what? Men. So, let's bring it home. Who is Abel, pastor? Right? Come on! Right? So that means you have a duty to the Lord
and to your pastor.
That's what my brother's keeper. Also, you have a duty to the Lord and to the brethren. You listen to that? Hallelujah. Jesus speaks that and said, he who wants to be the greatest among you should first of all serve.
He said, you know the prince of this world exercise dominion over his own. He said, but it's not so amongst you. He that wants to be the greatest should serve. Is it serve the world or serve yourself?
Amongst yourself.
So you have service to the Lord and service. Now, can we bring out the local church and service to the local church? Right? Thank you. You want to work for it? I know we don't have the pastor. I've showed you that before. The pastor and the brethren, right? So you have a duty towards your pastor and towards the brethren. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ever allow that? See, you have a duty towards them. Anybody that tells you, you just to serve the Lord is irresponsible. You don't have a duty towards any man. No. You can't serve the men who are around you.
You can't serve the Lord. You can't serve the Lord.
I'm going to deal with all this. I'm going to open it. I'm going to see it in this place.
Hallelujah. So we're dealing with what the Christian faith about first.
Then we begin to talk about material wealth. How is it connected to the Christian faith?
Just a short exhortation. I'm not sure I'm going to spend long on this. Did you?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Put a time out for me.
Is it 8 o'clock yet? 10 minutes, right?
Okay. I'll put a time out for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you must know. You must know. Glory, glory, glory. Glory, 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 glory. So you have a responsibility.
Like I said,
a responsibility. Let's do something quickly. Hallelujah. So he asked and said, let's look at this first. Am I my brother's keeper?
Am I my brother's keeper?
So I say, I have a responsibility. Say, I have a responsibility to the Lord. And I have a responsibility to the Lord through my local church. Or in my local church. To my pastor and the brethren. Hallelujah. I want to share something with us. Is that right?
And you must be careful of foreign voices. Voices that tells you, I'm only serving the Lord. I don't care. And you know, that is not of God. Be careful. Those voices can sound even genuine. But it's not a genuity. Because in this country, that we heard a story fly. I didn't listen to it one day. I don't even know the head and the tail of it. Because I don't give ears to scandal. Somebody said he went to heaven and God told him. I mean told her. And she was making scandals about ministers. Sometimes she will say that she will be crying. People were believing her. We're buying taste. We're crying. You think tears is what moves me? Or what moves God's word? No, God's word is God's word. Hallelujah. You should go to church. That we are telling you churches, they buried something. Are you okay? They buried something that people will come. What kind of nonsense stuff is that? Come out straight. You are envying the person for having members. And you don't have members. You think he buried something. Your problem is you're not taking nativity out of your head. You're not taking nativity out of your head.
Hallelujah. Don't say things like that. Don't even listen to them. Amen. So the genuity of your word is not whether the person cried. It's God's word. And the integrity of God's word. You must believe the integrity of God's word. Hallelujah. 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 So I have a responsibility. Hallelujah. So let's get back to Genesis 15 again. And then we'll go back to Genesis 3. Genesis 15. Alright, verse 13. So it shows us here. He says, and he said to them, never shall it that your that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they will afflict them 400 years. You see that? Hallelujah. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge afterward, and they shall come out with great substance. Stop. That nation will I judge. Listen to that. He said, that nation will I judge. When you use the word that nation will I judge, it tells you that service there is not stubborn work. Because that judgment there is actually judgment for unbelief. So automatically, God is telling Abraham the beauty of Israel in the nations of the world. Did you see that? In the nations of the world. They have a duty to proclaim God's name.
Hallelujah.
To proclaim God's name. Now, just know where we've left and where we are in. Amen. We left something for now,
which is the local church. Right? And we're talking about God's tax in the earth.
Well, the local church will be God's tax today, but we'll get back there. Hallelujah. Obey following me. Okay. So they have a responsibility. And that is they are bad. So as a believer, you have a responsibility to the nations of the world. Have a responsibility. He says the same thing to Adam. Even when Adam sinned, in Genesis 3, back to Genesis 3, look at what God said to man. Now, look at what God said in verse 23. He said, and God sent forth man out of the garden to till the ground from whence he was taken. Hallelujah.
To till the ground. So, what is he telling me? There is out of God's calling, but that tax of serving the Lord will be embedded in his heart. He has to serve the Lord. But nothing unbelievable. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So man has that responsibility of serving God. Man has that responsibility to serve the Lord. It is purpose
in the earth to serve God.
In the preaching of the gospel. In the preaching of the gospel.
You are on God's assignment in the earth. See, brothers and sisters.
See, these teachings are going to be interwoven today and Sunday. But I try my best to just separate them. Who are you? Yeah. Amen. What a Christian faith about who are you? It's the same thing what a Christian faith about. Almost similar. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
So man has a responsibility in the earth. Has a purpose. And this is how I'm going to close.
Man has a purpose in the earth. You have a purpose in the earth.
So when man
is not on God's purpose on a consistent, constant basis,
there's something else is on his mind. And that is the idol worship. Hallelujah. You serve God in his plan. You serve God in his purpose for the earth. You serve God in his purpose.
How many souls did you win? Or have you won from Monday to day?
You are going to learn to ask yourself that question. Brethren, you are going to learn to ask each other that question.
Hallelujah. How many souls do you win on a daily basis? Are you waiting for Pablo to tell you how many souls? Where are those days when you got saved? I wanted everybody on base to be saved. How many of you had that mindset? Had that burning when you got saved, right? Let me see your hand. You wanted to win everybody on base. But you wanted to know this truth. So where is that? Where is it? Where has it gone to? How many people have you won? How many people have you told? Or what is on your mind?
You know, Facebook will tell you what is on your mind. Football on my mind.
That's not on my mind.
No.
Hallelujah. Wow. Hallelujah. God's tasks on my mind. God's tasks on my mind. This is who you are. This is what the Christian faith is about.
The Christian faith is responsibility. Hold on, hear me. The Christian faith is responsibility.
Responsibility. This was, see, when you see that responsibility, you will see why people like Ishmael, people like Esau rejected it. Why did they reject it? For faith. For money. Hallelujah. If there was anything that was placed almost along the same pedestal with the gospel and scripture, is mammon, money. Hallelujah. Not placed there because it is God, because no, it's placed like that because that is what men seek after. God, Jesus will say, you can't serve God and mammon. Do you see that? He didn't say, you can't serve God and Shango. He placed mammon. And many times we use the word mammon is used for material substance. You can't. You can place God. Hallelujah. You can't. What I mean you can't, it doesn't mean you can't be serving God and not get prosperous. No, we're going to deal with that. Hallelujah. But I'm saying something else that people saw and said, no, I want to make money. Let me do gospel. Amen. But can you do both together? Yeah, you can.
And not allow mammon stay above the gospel.
You can.
Hallelujah. But it's very vital, you know. He saw the fame in the world. It is in the heart of man to want to please his belly.
Want to please himself. But a man in Christ. And it's like that God did it that way. Because man is empty and needs to be filled. So he thinks what is empty is like he's hungry. He wants to satisfy himself. No, no. That satisfaction comes in God's plan. And God's plan is on the earth. So when a man is born again, he's born into God's plan.
He's blessed into God's purpose. He's called son because of responsibility. Amen? So when you find the types of sons, types, in terms of in Genesis, you find Ishmael not the son but Isaac, it will be for responsibility. You find Jacob and not Esau, it will be responsibility. 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 Even when Esau said Jacob took his blessing and they met again, he still had that form of unrighteousness in front of Jacob. Because he still despised. Amen. Jacob had a role. The believer has a role in the earth. You have a role in the earth. I say it to you. You have a role in the earth. I say it to you. You don't need to wait for a pastor to tell you, go and win souls. No, you know you have a role in the earth. So as you get on the bus, as you get on the street, you start conversations. Conversations around the gospel. Get me saved. Get me filled. Hallelujah. You have that responsibility. You are born with a purpose. Come here. Say, I'm born with a purpose.
I'm born with a
task. Hallelujah. You're born with a purpose. You have a tax in the earth. The Christian faith is not about your pocket. The Christian faith is about God's tax. The Christian faith is about God. The Christian faith is living for God. The Christian faith is living your life for God. Look at your life. How are you living your life? For yourself? No! For God. I'm living for God. I'm living for God. You say yes, I'm living for God. It gets into your being. I'm living for God. This is who I am. I'm living for God. I'm living for God. So I get on God's task. I'm living for God. When you know you are living for God, you know you are a man on task. I'm living for God. I'm living for God. So I got to pray. Hallelujah. I got to pray. I know I have to pray. Because prayer is part of something. I'm going to do that. Hallelujah. I know how to preach the gospel. Bible studies, right? Hallelujah! Is it that some people think studies is all about praying and preaching to the Lord? No! No! Hallelujah! I got to pray. I got to preach to the Lord. I got to serve in my local church. I got to serve my pastor. I got to serve the brethren. Hallelujah! Oh yeah, Father doesn't mean you're not been praying to your pastor. No! You're going to serve him materially. You're going to serve him in your substance. You're going to serve him... yeah! Hallelujah. Glory to God. Serve. Going to serve him for the brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a task to live. I have something to live for. Remember I said, where there is no control, the devil is at work. When a believer begins to act without control, you must know. Satan has got something on that person. Ah! Is that the Father God or the Holy Ghost? Yeah. But the devil can have something on the person. He can have something on him. That agitation of not wanting to be under control is not of God. If you have it in the world, you find it in the world. When you see you carry placard, it's an agitation. Sometimes it's called subtle in words. We'll see it in scriptures. Subtle in words. Subtle. It's an agitation. Not of God. Look at David and the guy that said he killed Saul. He didn't kill Saul. Hallelujah. Subtle. Came to meet David subtly. But David was there, oh, good guy. Good guy. Let's carry a placard. Now I'm the new king. No, David didn't have to announce himself. Hallelujah. It didn't have to. There was no need for it. There's no need for it. Hallelujah. You have God's task to do. So watch out for subtle things. See, I told you. Sometimes, those things that deter us, that make us not to stay in God's, that make us not to stay in God's purpose for our life, sometimes comes in subtle packages. It comes in legitimate packages. Legitimate. This time look at it like this now. Legitimate packages. very legitimate sometimes. Sometimes God will just, you know, you find it legitimate, you find it nice, appealing. But take note, when there's an agitation, when there's an agitation, when there's an agitation in the heart of anybody concerning the local church, is not of God. In fact, I said this to your pastors last week. I said, and I heard this on Pastor Shogun, and it's very true. Whenever you find an agitation in the world, like the MSAS, don't think, the MSAS is in the world. We are in Christ. No. The goal of the devil is not in the world. The tactic's goal is in the church. And I said, is the MSAS a sin? No. It was a just cause. Yeah. But the way it went, the way they dragged it, you should now start seeing the hand of the devil at it. I remember then when I spoke, some people came at me and said, "What? Why would I say that? You are dragging pastor." Is the what? So what do you mean? Just carry placards in the church. You know what that led to? That is the whole movement that you've seen today. And that has made people think they can talk to pastors anyhow. They can drag their pastor. People will drag their pastor, their own pastor. You're untrained. Somebody asked me, can't we call out there from the world like Elijah did? And I smiled. Somebody asked me that today. Oh boy. Yeah. So for them to yab Elijah, it tells you that it has always been to drag me from Genesis, you find it. They've always done it. But there's judgment for those. But so don't be part of them. Over here, don't be part of those sects. No. You are well taught God's word. Amen. When you see a brother, when you see a sister, your role is to see.
Let me tell you. You don't have a time. Maybe you hear this brother talking to you about pastor and how you should agitate, stand your ground. And the new, stand my ground. Stand like that. Your role is not to defend pastor. Amen. That's not your role to defend pastor. Your role is to rebuke the brother. That's your role. Okay, even if evil at home, amen? Because of them, they grow and they speak to them. Okay, they can be at home. Maybe Pastor brought this to, come and look, Lord. Brought this to her. Come and see me. But I told myself to follow Pastor. I know the Bible. Don't say, No, I am not doing the opposite. I'm doing this to you. Look at the Bible, see that thing. Don't say, no, Pastor, Pastor can't do that. The road is to be beautiful. Be there. To be beautiful. Be there. Okay, everybody. Don't say, oh, dear. Dear, according to the scriptures, dear. Please do it! I love what he was to be. What's the name of this pastor that some people say they are the weirdest couples? Eh? Kenneth Copeland. The wife of Kenneth Copeland, he will lay hands on him. And then the daughter was saying nonsense, was talking out of it. You know what I mean? You are in the God. I have a responsibility. Hallelujah. I have a responsibility in serving the Lord.
have a responsibility to serve the Lord. Let's be on our feet. I have a responsibility to serve the Lord. I serve the Lord. Never be too big in your eyes when it comes to service.